Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is a Chicago-born R&B soul singer with an impressive resume. BJ, the Chicago Kid, has collaborated with Kanye West, Kendrick Lamar, Schoolboy Q, and many other hip-hop artists, not to mention R&B artists like Mary J. Blige and Chris Brown. He started with mixtapes here in Chicago, and now he's releasing his debut major label album on Motown Records. It's called In My Mind, and the single Church is already heating up Chicago radio.
But I got church in the morning, church in the morning. She says she wanna drink, do drugs, and have sex tonight. But I got church in the morning, church in the morning.
Hopefully we can go to heaven, I pray. Hopefully we can go to heaven, 'cause I'm staying.
That track features Chance the Rapper. BJ the Chicago Kid is currently living in L.A., but he's back in Chicago to promote the record. BJ, welcome to The Download.
What's going on, man? Happy to be here.
Hey, congratulations on the record, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So how does it feel to have your, I mean, you've done a lot of stuff. You collaborated with a lot of people. How does it feel to have your own, you know, major label record?
A little surreal. Some days it's real, some days it's not. You know, it's pretty crazy because every day for the past few years it's kind of been a strong move as far as what we're doing, what our team has been doing to keep me busy, and what we've been doing outside of the team to make sure that us and the team can keep us busy. It's been a pretty fun couple years, so honestly, I haven't stopped. So it just blends right into the grind, and I'm definitely appreciative for it, and I'm happy that this album is finally available for the people to hear it and see what we've been doing, man.
Let me ask you, you know, you obviously have Chicago in your name.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about growing up here. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you know, how you got into music here in Chicago.
Chicago is music. I grew up on the South Side, so on the South Side, I could recall walking down the street, and you walk past a blues bar that's just banging blues music, like this was really that kind of city, especially on the South Side. I mean, if you heard blues, you smelled food, probably ribs or something like that. You know, it was a very this is a very Southern touched city. It's a lot of other people that you know kind of came here and migrated here from the South. So the Southernness brings the soul, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
And just understanding the history of this place long before my birth, I just understand from Curtis Mayfield to how it all
you
unfolds.
Pay attention to the history of soul music in Chicago? I mean,
it's only right. I feel like to get where you're going, you got to pay attention to who's been here before you and how you're riding their wave to get where you're going. Because it's the truth, man. If it weren't for people like that from Chicago and like, you know, just Chess Records, that was the first Motown. You know, it was Motown before Motown. And then Chicago, not Detroit. So I just really understand a little more why I tick and talk the way I do because of the air I breathe and the streets I walk.
It seems like, you know, Chicago is pretty well known right now for being a rap scene. A lot of mm-hmm. great rap has come out, not to mention, you know, the people at the top, Kanye West, but even mm-hmm. Chance the Rapper, and a lot of the rappers who come through even this studio.
Yeah.
But R&B, it's like we just talked about, there's so much history here. And even if you think about the current artists, Jeremiah mm-hmm. or R. Kelly or anyone who came out, mm-hmm. there really is a soul scene here in Chicago that's not talked about as much.
Yo, what's crazy is I talked to a friend the other day, and Chicago's potency is so big they thought Aretha Franklin was from Chicago. I said, but what's crazy is I could believe it if I didn't know any better. I would believe it too. Just the feel and the vibe here and the lifestyle in Chicago is so real, you have no choice but to be soulful in whatever you do.
Let me ask you about what it is about that vibe. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you've moved on to Los Angeles, and, mm-hmm. and so when you think back, I mean, obviously, like I said, you have Chicago in your name.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you think back to the vibe that's here in Chicago versus mm-hmm. the vibe and really the epicenter of the music industry, what's the difference?
Really, I went to L.A. to be where it was. I had to be where it's at. You know, as a songwriter or whatnot, I don't like to necessarily send the songs. Like, if I could be there to play it for you and you want me to change these two lines, I'm going to see what you wanted to say so we can make sure it says exactly what you wanted to say if everything else fits. You know, I wanted to be in the game. I didn't want to catch the game on TV. I didn't want to stream the game. I wanted to be in the game, like EA Sports, man. Had to do it.
Talk about going to L.A. Like, when you went to L.A., you went as a songwriter, as a background singer.
Yeah, as a songwriter and as a background singer. And I feel like those things definitely kept my antennas up. I was able to work with Mary Mary. That was, like, the first job that I had when I got to L.A. But the position they were in, they put me in a very unique position because they're gospel artists, but they were mm-hmm. on a lot of secular shows and, you know, different things like that. So it put me in the likes of other artists that I began to work for and work with and write for, and it just began to spread. So always utilizing a job for more than a check is pretty much how I got here.
PJ, let me ask you, because I don't know anything about the songwriting world. How does it work? I mean, you write a song and try to pitch that song. Do you have many different ways. How does it work for you?
How it worked for me, I didn't have agents at the time or anything like that. So it was pretty much self-movement. I didn't even have management at the time. So I was the grind. If I went to sleep, the grind went to sleep. it was straight honest. But it's so cool because some things I've gotten in life just literally from going to a place I probably really didn't want to go to with a friend. I didn't want to go by myself, and somebody see me like, oh, BJ, oh, I forgot. Yo, so my homeboy Johnny just called me today. He got this job for somebody to sing. Since you do, you might as well do it. So call Johnny, and Johnny going to get your check cut tomorrow. All because I didn't want to come to this party.
Right.
A lot of those situations turned out to be stuff like Coachella with Dr. Dre and the Tupac hologram. It turned out to be traveling and working with Usher for over 2-3 years. It turned to working with Kanye West in the studio. It always turns into something. But the key thing is having a product or a gift that's so strong that is worth the referral. Makes sense?
It does. And yeah. I'm interested, too, is, you know, like you said, you didn't have an agent, you didn't have a manager. So what's a grind? And that's a very specific mm-hmm. Chicago thing. There's a hustle.
Yeah,
and the
very
artists
so.
That come out of Chicago. So talk about that, just the idea of that hustle that Chicago gives you.
Definitely Chicago knows how to run out. We was taught to run our mouth through birth. We talk trash. We talk a lot of trash. Sports, barbershop talk. Cousin talk, we talk trash. That's what we do. In the hood, we call them wolf tickets. You know, you're selling wolf tickets. But I've learned to make that an asset. I've learned to use that in the best ways possible. I've also learned traveling through O'Hare, you see somebody who's been here for 2 days on tour, and you want to maximize this 30 seconds you have with them. How do you do that? Mm-hmm. So professionally, it's actually a sharp, sharp, sharp tool that you're taught to have, but you have to learn how to use it in your particular profession when you're old enough to learn what you're doing. So doing the homework and catching back up with these people and learning how to really speak professionally, but being from the hood.
Yeah.
This city isn't structured for you to communicate with many different races and different professional fields. But I really, really salute people that understand it and that get it and that want to know more. That was the thing. I had a little bit of all of that and still have it. Being a student of life is something I feel like I never want to get out of the desk of. You know
well,
what I'm saying?
Let's take a quick break and we'll talk more about that.
Absolutely.
Because I want to talk about not just about how you approach music, but how you produce music. I mean, this is what you're like in the studio. Mm-hmm. And the new record, In My Mind, from BJ the Chicago Kid. It's just dropped now. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More with
yes,
BJ.
Sir.
This is a woman's world. This is a woman's world.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. My guest tonight, BJ the Chicago Kid,
yes,
blowing
sir.
Up right now. You're everywhere. I turn on the TV, there you are, performing.
Yes, sir.
The new record just dropped, In My Mind, mm-hmm. BJ the Chicago Kid, a Chicago soul singer who has worked with everybody from Kanye West to Mary J. Blige and millions more, it feels like. I mean, BJ, let's talk about this record because mm-hmm. I kind of looked back at your Twitter and mm-hmm. Facebook and all the kind of stuff about the making of this record.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about what you're like in the studio.
Oh, man, unpredictable. First, definitely unpredictable. Vulnerable, open, protective. I protect the energy like no other. I don't need any vibe killers in here. I don't need any negative energy in here. I need everybody to understand everything you hear isn't finished, you know. But most of all, during this project phase, I want everybody to understand we made the basketball team a long time ago. Now we're trying to win a championship. This is not trials. This is not tryouts. This is not practice.
Where'd you learn this from? I mean, you've obviously been a musician and you've mm-hmm. worked with some, we talked about the people, but you've now had the chance to collaborate and observe a lot of mm-hmm. great musicians.
Yeah.
So talk about who's inspired you and how you make a record.
I'm inspired by not just people, but life itself. Movies, other songs. Sometimes a word can make me flip the word meaning and go a whole nother route with it. I think after doing this so long, my brain works on its own in doing that. It's times I'm sleeping, I hear music on a commercial, and I wake up. You know, it's crazy. It's almost like a curse sometimes. But I love what I do, man. I feel like my brain loves what I do, too, so it refuses to shut off. It's a blessing, man, because I'd rather have it and store it than be looking for forever. You know, I can't find it.
One of the interesting things about you is, I mean, you've made your name before the major record label on collaborations. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the hook.
The hook, yeah, yeah.
But so talk about that. Talk about what makes a great collaboration for you.
First, because it's watered down now, let me just explain what collaboration means. Collaborations were built and made for two entities that were very great separately, that admired each other's work, to come together to make something of small quantity but huge quality for the masses as much as possible. Whoever can understand what we're doing and love what we do separately, you understand why we come together for mm-hmm. this limited time and we go back to our corners and do what we've been doing for the rest of our lives. That was the purpose of collaborating, making something super cool from two super cool makers that cause one unique,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And now I think it's so watered down that it's...
Well, everybody's
it's,
featured on everything,
man,
right?
Everybody. And it's no connection. Anybody that I work with, I really rock with how they are, the person that they are, how they perceive life, how they perceive music. It's some kind of connection that I really say, you want to know
So
what?
You look for a personal connection when you're
yeah,
working.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, musically, that's the only way that people are going to love it, right? So I try to keep it honest. That's not a thing I purposely do. It just naturally feels better that
well,
way.
I would think you'd be in high demand because
yeah,
you know, you had so many successes with collaboration, whether mm-hmm. it be Kendrick Lamar or Kanye West, that you became the hook on a lot of these songs. So mm-hmm. I would think that there'd be a lot of callers, like people come and saying, I want BJ. So how do you go with that? Do you just say yes to everything or do you say,
you answer Dr. Dre's call and you leave Lil Rallo to the side. No, I was like, yeah. You grow as a business. You understand that certain things you can't do anymore, certain things you need to do. Certain people that I want to work with and can't wait to work with, they probably possibly don't even know I exist. It's really making sure that the product that you present is always tight because it's something that's speaking for you when you're not speaking. It's something speaking for you when you're not even awake. Mm-hmm. You know, people listen to this music when I'm asleep, you know? So it's making sure you put it all into the music to the point where that is mostly self-explanatory as possible. I realized that misconception comes from you not making it clear in your statement. So my statement is music, so I feel like with this album in my mind, I just want to make everything crystal clear.
As you have a lot of collaborations on this record. I mean, mm-hmm. people come to help you out, people yeah. that you worked yeah. with in the past.
Big Crit, Raphael Sadiq, Kendrick Lamar, Chance the Rapper, Buddy, a few greats that I really, really, really appreciate. My friend PJ Morton from Maroon 5 is a part of this stuff too. So it's a really, really, really cool moment, man.
So let me ask you, as you put this together, I mean, this last couple of weeks, we've seen so much with, you know, with Kanye putting out the record just mm-hmm. about, you know, oh, it's not ready, or, you know, or they're fighting in the studio, they're fighting for their stuff. When you see that kind of stuff, and that was the first kind of glimpse for a lot of music lovers to say, oh, mm-hmm. I didn't even know that kind of stuff was, they were working on it to the last minute. I mean, is that just pretty much standard operating procedure?
Yeah, you spend more time editing songs than you do recording the song. You spend more time editing, making sure the reverbs is right, the delays is right, the texture of the voice is right, the background vocals is right. Sometimes I use three-part harmony and the third part texture needs to be a little bit rougher or softer or lighter or more airy. A lot of people don't know about those details or don't know what we're changing or probably would even listen for what I'm changing. But yeah, I understand, and I understand what it does as a complete project or as a complete movement, and that's what I'm focused on. I'm just as much of a producer as I am a singer.
I was going to say, I mean, you've obviously evolved as a musician, not just as someone who's in the background or writing songs.
Absolutely.
You're producing these tracks.
Yeah.
You know, when you get the finished product together.
I produce the album, man.
Yeah, so when you put it out, I mean, is it a little bit more stressful in the sense that you've been the person who
edited it? It's a big sign of relief, honestly, man. It's a big sign of relief. I don't have to worry about mixes anymore. I don't have to worry about the strings anymore. I don't have to worry about why that snare not hitting hard like I wanted to in this car or versus these speakers. You learn to see what speakers and what headphones tell the truth and what speakers lie. Some speakers lie. They do not tell you exactly what you're giving. So it's I learned so much as a producer versus being a writer versus being a singer versus being an artist. All of those hats teach you different things to all connect the dots to lead to this massive thing. And that's in my mind, man. I love it.
Well, as we said, I mean, your name is BJ the Chicago Kid.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about Chicago as you move forward and you put mm-hmm. this record out on Motown Records of all places.
Yeah.
You think back to when you started. Think about the mixtapes and the beginnings, the thoughts of being in Chicago, growing up on the South Side, mm-hmm. and to where you're at now. I mean, what do you think about when you think about the trajectory of your career?
Oh, wow. First, I would say I wouldn't have done anything different as far as my choices of moving and progressing and things like that. I wouldn't do nothing different. I would have still moved to Los Angeles, because moving to Los Angeles, I began to meet some of the people that helped change my life. Moving to Los Angeles, I met some of the coolest musicians, writers, producers that are now like brothers to me. If I don't hear from you in 7 days, I'm calling you, cursing you out. Like, what's up, bro? You know, what's going on? You know, it's become home. It's become family. Chicago has given me the identity, the materials, and everything else that makes me the man that I am, to give me the pass to go around the world and be BJ the Chicago Kid. I believe if I had any flaws when it comes to my name or my city or what I represent, or just even being from here or the heart of the city, you probably heard a little Twitter situation by now. But I have no worries, man. My neighborhood supports me. My family supports me.
Let me ask you. You know, and I guess this is you're a producer, you're a singer, you're a songwriter, you're out major label album. Mm-hmm. What's the advice to the soul singer who's in his bedroom right now, recording tracks and putting stuff out, saying, mm-hmm, "I want to be like BJ the Chicago Kid"? What's your advice?
Take the meat and leave the bones, man. Everything isn't for everybody, but what you're attracted to, stay attracted to that. Focus on the magic. I say the thing that make you forget to eat. Then they make you forget birthdays, all that kind of thing. That's what always tickled my fancy. You know what I'm saying? That thing always set me on fire as far as the passion to want to know more. I told somebody the other day, music is one of the few things that has come through the urban community that made black men want to really learn something again. Like, they want to know Pro Tools. They want to know Logic. They want to know Reason. They want to know all of these different programs and ways to produce, because they love music. And it intrigues their knowledge to, you know, want more. And it's not many things that make them want more besides cars and a few other things that, you know, we just know it's just publicized. But I'm really happy that something else can come and strike, you know, someone's curiosity and make them really yearn for something and try to be great at it.
The new album is In My Mind. It's out this week. Mm-hmm. BJ the Chicago Kid.
Yes, sir.
It's great. It was great to meet you. And
appreciate it, man.
Congrats on the record, and thanks for stopping by.
Man, thank you guys for having me.